Well, good afternoon, everybody. This is Bob Elson. We're set as usual for our Saturday afternoon sports show. And our guest today at our Irving Park office is an old friend of mine, a man who's devoted many good years of his life to athletics, John Pont, former athletic director and football coach at Northwestern. That, I don't know about you, that came as a shocker to me.
Well, it wasn't a shock, no, Bob. I was surprised, and yet my wife says, John, you weren't surprised, but really you are when something like that occurs. I think that probably more than a shock or more than a surprise was the disappointment. I didn't have any reading that something like that would happen, but these things do occur in the world of sports, and as Coach Venturi and I talk, Bob, let's leave the same way we came in, and I think that the program had improved, at least offensively, under his guidance, and we see many more good athletes at Northwestern now. So the next person coming in, as far as football is concerned, I think is going to have a good program to start with as far as athletes are concerned. And with my role as director of athletics at the university in the course of the last 4 years that I held that position, we have had changes, and when I look at the total program, I'm reasonably satisfied of a great many things that was accomplished by the athletic administration, so I don't leave with any ill feelings or anything like that. The world hasn't come to an end, and we just go on from there.
Was there any tip-off as far as you were concerned that this was going to happen, or were you caught totally by surprise?
Oh, you get some feelings, but, you know, I had talked to the president a couple weeks before, and he had indicated that, you know, there were some rumblings and what have you, but more with a football program than directed to me. He said even he himself was receiving some, you know, letters of or registering some complaints, but I think this is normal. I don't think it's any different, Bob, than it was a year ago or the year before that. You always have situations like that in the world of athletics, and I would say that that occurs even in programs where they're having great success. So, again, my initial reaction when I talked to President Strauss was one of surprise and, I guess, disappointment more than anything else.
Well, Northwestern, over the years, and I can think back a long time about their athletic program, it seems like there are always problems there.
Well, I don't think, Bob, that
can they compete with the other schools in the Big Ten?
Well, I think you have to look at it in terms of the broad program rather than just football and basketball. I watched our basketball team last night, and what Coach Falk has done in the last 2 years is quite impressive, frankly. He stated publicly that this is the fastest team that's been that's Northwestern's had in a great number of years, and I concur totally. They played, you know, a typical opening game last night, but I fully expect that Rich is going to have more success this year than he had last year. So that's one part of the program. But if people were to relate what happens in football and look at the total program, then you'd have some questions. But when you look at the wrestling program, where a year ago three of our wrestlers went to nationals, I think that's a pretty good program. And our heavyweight was ranked number four in the United States before he received an injury. Our tennis team was second in the Big Ten. And they qualified, I believe, one or two for, you know, national competition. Our baseball team is having success. We finished ninth a year ago, but they weren't being pounded out of the ballpark. You know, the scores weren't 9-2 and 7-1 or anything like that. They were very competitive. So when people say, you know, can you compete, I think that they have to look at the broad program rather than just one particular sport. And right now, there's no question, football's struggling, and has for a number of years.
Well, the demands on the students scholastically and every other way at Northwestern, they're no different, are they, than any other Big Ten school?
Well, I think they are, quite frankly, and I don't mean to demean the other institutions in the Big Ten, but I think that they are very, very much different. And I think in this respect, Bob, if we look at it from the standpoint of competition first on the athletic fields or courts or whatever the case may be, you're competing in the Big Ten, and I don't think there's any question about it. It offers competition of the highest. The difference then is when they finish practice or finish competition and they go back to the classroom, they're competing against the tops in the country academically. So they've got a two-way dogfight. And I don't think that this is necessarily true at other institutions. And this is not to say that what they do is wrong. In fact, I concur totally that not every student who goes to a university has to come out as a Phi Beta Kappa. I don't think they all have to come out with 3 points or what have you. I think if they better their knowledge of a particular field of study, I think this is what a college is all about. It isn't just to develop Rhodes Scholars or Phi Beta Kappas or whatever the case may be. It's to develop people so that they can go off and pursue their own career. But there is a difference to a degree at Northwestern.
Well, how well does the Big Ten and the NCAA police the athletic program within the framework of the Big Ten?
Well, the Bob, the NCAA much prefers having institutions, first of all, police themselves. Then secondly, if they belong to the conference is a secondary level. And then finally, you get to the NCAA. Bob, I serve on the council, the NCAA council, as one of the 16 vice presidents. And I know the NCAA has been maligned, and I realize a lot of people will say the same thing about the Big Ten, saying that they don't get into things as quickly. But you know only too well, in this day and age, with the legalities and what have you of investigations, it isn't a case anymore of just catching somebody and citing an infraction and boom, you hit them with a penalty. I can't be more impressed with what the NCAA does and how it operates. It's a totally fair operation. They're very concerned, first of all, about the student-athlete. But the Big Ten deals with conference play and conference eligibility rules. The NCAA deals more with championships and recruiting and the like.
How does the Big Ten program compare, say, with Notre Dame? Are the same demands at Notre Dame on students that there are in the Big Ten, or are they...
No, they're the same. When you're... And they're institutional. They have their institutional autonomy, so they can do things a little bit differently. But Notre Dame has had their successes on the field and off the field, and they're quite proud of their graduation rate, as are most of the schools in the Big Ten. In this particular case, Northwestern is proud of what it's done. But the Notre Dame goes along with the NCAA the NCAA rules and regulations regarding recruitment of student-athletes, grade requirements, eligibility, and the like. Might be interesting for your listeners, Bob, to know that institutions can have more stringent rules than what the NCAA dictates. And in the Big Ten, this is very true. Some of the rules that we have in the Big Ten pertaining to eligibility and what have you are far more stringent than the NCAA. Institutions can do the same thing. Northwestern, Wisconsin. As far as their admission of student-athletes, our admissions policies are somewhat different than the Big Ten and even higher than what the NCAA has. So you've got different levels of regulations, if I could put it that way.
Yeah. In an all-over collegiate athletic program, does football pay all the freight?
Well, I would say football, probably most of it, and at a large number of institutions in the country, about basketball. But if you come right down to it, it's football and basketball that carries the freight. And, Bob, that leads into something over which I have a great deal of concern at this point in time. It seems as if we are getting more and more business-oriented. Not that we shouldn't watch our dollars and cents, and not that we shouldn't have a budget and what have you, but I've always felt, and it states this in the NCAA manual, that you have intercollegiate athletics for the express purpose of offering student-athletes competition at various levels. And to me, that's the bottom line. The second bottom line is a dollar, but I feel that what we're getting to is more away from the student-athlete concept and competition for those people, and getting more into the idea that this is a business, it's entertainment, and we've got to have people coming into the stands to pay for all the programs. I'd like to see a little bit of a turnabout coming around here where colleges and institutions reaffirm their position, and if they want a program, be willing to pay for it, because the pressure's on coaches, both in football and basketball, to produce winners. Is becoming far greater. I don't say the pressures lead to cheating. Some coaches express that, and I take a different view, but the pressures to win, to draw crowds, to pay for the programs, to get on television, to get into the NCAA basketball tournament or the NIT, the bucks that you make, and I just don't particularly care for the direction that's taking at this point in time.
Well, what about, speaking of the rules of intercollegiate athletics and the NCAA, what about down south? Some of these schools that seem to be powerhouses year after year. Let's take Alabama for one.
Bob, you know, we were talking about this last night. It's interesting, your question there. Mike Westhoff, one of the Rick Coach Venturi's assistants, we were in there taking a steam bath. He had just finished working out, and I wanted to get away and relax for a while. And we're sitting, and we're talking, and he said, you know, it really hasn't changed in the last 25 years. He said the same schools sit there in the top 25. He said you could pick the top 20 out of the top 25 for the last 25 years. I said, Mike, you can go back 30, 35 years if you want. And Bob, you've been in it long enough, I think, to realize that this is true. And I think that there are a number of factors involved. I think success breeds success. I honestly believe that. Yeah. I think the other factor is there is a great deal to be said about tradition and crowd interest and fan appeal and what have you. There was a study made a couple of years ago by two university professors, Tutko and Ogilvie. They sent out questionnaires, Bob, to the starters in the sport of football and basketball of the top 25 football schools in the country and top 20 basketball schools in the country. And they asked questions as to why did you choose this university? Was it education? Was it facilities? Was it tradition? What have you? The majority answered winning. They placed education at the lower spectrum. They talked about facilities. They talked about tradition and what have you, or answered that way. And I think this is true. You have a 17-year-old young man who's being recruited, and he's thinking about wanting to play. And I've never met a 17-year-old who doesn't honestly believe that he's going to be a starter and that he might not be all-conference or all-American. And so when it comes down to push and pull, I would say more often than not, if a young man were going to decide between, well, you use Notre Dame and Northwestern, I think they're going to go to a Notre Dame more often than not. If you can peck away and peck away, you eventually might be able to field enough good players to come up with some measure of success. Again, referring last night to Mike Westhoff and the conversation we had, he was watching the Pitt-Penn State game, and he started pointing out the number of players on the Pitt and Penn State team that he had recruited who had expressed an interest in Northwestern, but when it came down to signing the letter of intent, they went to two schools that were having success. But that's how close Northwestern is to possibly turning things around.
That's interesting. What about the balance of the athletic program?
Oh, the balance? In
baseball, what does that do?
As far as income?
Income and interest among the students.
Well, interest, our baseball program, it on weekends, there is good interest there. I think a lot depends on the kind of weather we're having. When the weather's good, Bob, they're out there, and we probably have the interest there, I think, is exceptionally good. Wrestling, it isn't bad. Now, we don't get the kind of crowds in wrestling that Iowa does, but Iowa, I just read in the paper where they're ranked number one to the United States. They won the NCAA last year, and they've got a wrestling program out there that's out of sight.
And that attracts students who are wrestlers.
Just continues. It goes on and on, so you can expect Iowa to have their success down the road. But I would say that in wrestling, we draw about 200-300 people. Now, the Midlands, coming up on, I think, December 27th and December 28th, 29th, we'll have about 2,000 wrestlers there for this three-day event, and most of the best in the United States will be there. The crowds that we'll get on the next to the last night and the last night for finals will be very good. It'll number close to 2,000-3,000 people. So we do have that kind of interest. And then if you get into your tennis, when you go out to tennis, I see, 100 people out there watching either the men's team or the women's team. So there is that kind of interest on an ongoing in an ongoing manner. I would say right now the one sport on the other side with the women, the two sports there that are really drawing, the women's basketball team, they'll get 200 to 300, and our volleyball team has just caught fire. We won the region, so we're one of, I think, eight teams going to the Nationals in Santa Barbara in December. So we, you know, again, it gets back, Bob, to what you had said earlier about a program. And if you relate it solely to football, we're struggling. If you relate it to a total program, where you encompass all the sports, all the student athletes competing, then I think Northwestern is competitive.
John, as you review your years at Northwestern, what are a few of the things that have given you the most satisfaction?
Oh, I think it goes back to page one, Bob. I think it's the association with student athletes. Talking with them, visiting with them, helping them as far as their career opportunities are concerned. I still think that that's page one. The second, quite frankly, is the competition. I coaching there, I just enjoyed immensely the Saturday afternoons. Just getting ready for an Ohio State or a Michigan or going out and playing against Nebraska. That I found very enjoyable. And then, as I said earlier, I think the things that that we've changed since we've been there. The stadium was renovated. We had an artificial surface put on the track as well as the football field. There have been other forms of renovation within the department, and there's still a great deal to be done. I derive some satisfaction out of that from an administrative standpoint. And the other is developing a staff. They've got a fine staff up there at Northwestern. They're professional people, and they're extremely concerned about page one, and page one really is a student-athlete competing. It sounds like an old broken record, but I believe if anybody ever gets away from that, whether the person is a coach or someone on the administrative level, then I think we have to rename intercollegiate athletics and call it something else.
Speaking of athletic programs within the framework of the Big Ten, is Indiana on the upbeat?
I think it is. Well, it's all of their programs down there. Frankly, they've done an excellent job in developing success all the way down the line. Of course, Bob Knight with basketball, there's no question there. In their football program, they came very close. They faltered against Minnesota this year. Otherwise, I think Indiana would have been in a bowl game. And under Doc Councilman, their swimming program, Sam Bell and their track program, and their soccer last year went to the finals. So all around, there again, they've had probably as much, if not more success in all phases of their athletic as any other school in the conference. I would say all. You'd put Michigan up there at the top, and last year Iowa with some of their programs.
What about Ohio State?
And Ohio State, but Ohio State had been struggling with their basketball. Now it's back on track. And I think we see some signs that other areas of their sports program are improving, but all around, I would say Indiana, Iowa, and Michigan, at least in the last one or two years.
Uh-huh. How far ahead is the bowl program set? Well, do you people have an agreement out in the West Coast?
Yeah, we're all set there, and the Pac-10 people want us there. The Rose Bowl committee, they want the Big Ten out there. It's a beautiful marriage.
To make a lot of sense.
Well, it does that, and I think there's another aspect to it. They've been going together so long that it's become more of a family kind of marriage. Now, granted, there's a financial part of it, but I think that there's more of a family to the Rose Bowl pact. Go ahead.
Yes. Speaking of the Rose Bowl, do all of the Big Ten schools get a piece of the money?
Yeah, everyone. We all get a share of the Big Ten share, and the visiting or the team that goes out representing, they do have a budget over and above their share. So this year, Northwestern going out to the Rose Bowl for Rose Bowl receipts again, I don't know, we projected about $137,000 to $142,000 as our share of that particular ball game. And people have mentioned, you know, why should Northwestern remain in the Big Ten? Why shouldn't you go elsewhere? Well, there are a great many ramifications, and what you've just asked, Bob, is one of the reasons. Where do you go in the first place? What about your other sports? If you go further away, who will your baseball team compete against? Who will your track team run against? And then, as I said earlier, you've got your financial implications, and we find that our association with the Big Ten and in our bowl competition, television revenue, which we share, this helps pay the freight for our total sports program. Not totally, but to a great degree.
John Pump, what are your immediate plans?
Just relaxing, going to have lunch with my wife today. And we really, you know, there's not a state of depression in the Pond household. These things happen.
Yeah.
We're not going to worry about where we're going. I've already had several job offers. I guess the immediate question that Sandy and I have to answer, ask ourselves and then answer is, where do we want to live? And then what is it that we want to do? We love Chicago. I can understand why people who leave the area and come back say, hey, this is a great city. And just driving down instead of the freeway, we came through the various neighborhoods, and you get attached to this place. So I have had job offers. If I wanted to, I could probably start work in a week or two. But I just want to unwind a little bit.
Take your time.
Yeah, and we've got three kids, two in college, and one who is already out. So there's not the problem that our younger coaches have in the football, where they've got youngsters, and if they leave, they've got to think of school systems, you know, and all that stuff. Sandy and I don't have that to be concerned about at this point in time.
Lots of luck to you, Joe.
Thank you, Bob. Always nice visiting.
Enjoy having you as a guest on our program all the time. Our guest has been John Pont, the former head coach and athletic director at Northwestern, a man who's made a lot of outstanding contributions to the collegiate athletic world. Well, have a nice day, and now this is Bob Elson saying goodbye until next Saturday at our usual time.